Hello and welcome to today's Flyers Talk podcast. I'm Taryn Hatcher, filling in as host today for Jordan Hall, who needs to take care of life, which is, you know, Jordan works literally nonstop, so we give him this morning to do whatever he has to do. And I'm joined by Joe Fordyce, the wonderful producer of Flyers pre, post game live, and intermission live. Joe, the Flyers coming off of a huge 2-1 shootout loss against Tampa Bay, and I still say huge because Flyers were able to hang with Tampa despite a second period full of disarray. And Tampa, as we know, is an incredibly talented hockey team with a great goaltender between the pipes. And for what it's worth, the Flyers were able to hang with them without even, you know, with having a 20-minute, a true at least 20-minute dip in play.
Yeah, and I think if you look at that game last night, Tampa had what they wanted going. They had Braden Point buzzing. They had Steven Stamkos buzzing. They had Victor Hedman all over the ice. They had all the ingredients of games when they dominate teams going, but they didn't dominate the Flyers, as you said. And that can only be taken as a good sign. Carter Hart played great. That's not an offense that is easy to keep down. And, you know, the Flyers and Carter were able to do that reasonably well. And, you know, it was an impressive effort, I thought. And, you know, the other thing, too, is when you give up a goal as late in the game as they did, I think it was just over 2 minutes to play, when Tampa goes ahead 2-1, that's such a deflating goal to give up at that point in the game. Last year, hands down, they would have folded. Now, last year, they probably wouldn't have been in that spot in the first place because they probably would have been down a few goals. But for them to answer right away and have Giroux tie the game, I thought that was the number one thing that stood out to me, was this resiliency. Because 2 minutes left, I mean, when you give up that goal, you have to feel like, okay, this game's over, we lost. But they didn't do that. They came out, they got right after it, and Giroux ties the game, sends it to overtime, and then, of course, they lose in the shootout, which, I mean, when you're going against Andrei Vasilevskiy in a shootout, it's actually off-putting watching him on those breakaways, because he's so calm when he makes the saves that it almost looks like he's not even paying attention.
Yeah.
And it's a tough prospect to ask when you're going to have Point and Stamkos shoot and Vasilevskiy be the goaltender. It's kind of like, okay, what can I do to win this game with when that's what's in front of you. But I thought it was a good sign to get to overtime, to get a point, and to really hang, like you mentioned, with that team for the entire game. I thought that was impressive.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I think the other part, and we didn't get into this in postgame, and I kind of regretted it because I didn't think of it before we started to do postgame. It's the first time the Flyers have scored 3 goals in a game in a while, and it's against one of the best goaltenders in the league. It's against one of the best teams in terms of being kind of stingy to – I have to look again at what their goals allowed per game actually is. But you look at their games, they're not a team that goes into these games and has a track meet. That's just not how Tampa plays. So you don't expect to score 3, 4, 5, 6 goals against them. And the other thing that stood out to me, and I have no stats to back this up, this is just us watching and talking about it in the newsroom and how I've kind of watched things play out last year versus this year, was – it feels like when the Flyers score in these spurts recently, when they stop for the rest of the game. Like, they would get their first two period goals and that would be it. And they would lose track of the offense and they wouldn't get it back, or they'd get it back but they couldn't finish. And for them to have that early burst, the two goals in the first period, play quite poorly in the second period, and then allow a really deflating goal and still be able to find offense after all of that was nice to see, because as you pointed out, that kind of emotional, mental roller coaster of a game used to really get to the Flyers last year, and the wheels would fall off. It would go from being, let's say Claude Giroux doesn't score the game tying goal, it would go from being a 3-2 loss where you go, wow, they really battled against Tampa, to usually kind of the wheels falling off and it becoming a 4-2, 5-2 loss where they let in some garbage time goals and something happens and whatever. And the other thing that it's not interesting, it's more like we saw it last year and it's nice to see it again, is that Claude Giroux, for whatever anybody wants to say about whether he deserves the C or he's not this or he is that or whatever, Claude Giroux last year was the only guy who, in the last 2 minutes of the game, seemed to find a way to will them to a win. And he did it again. Well, he did it to a point last night to get them to the tie. And it just goes to show what a specific and unique kind of talent Claude Giroux has when that desperation time sets in to do something about it. And Al said it before the game. He goes, this is a game where you need either a Sean or you need a Claude to come in and help win you this game. You don't win the game, you don't get a point out of the game if one of those two guys isn't on the stat sheet with, you know, some tallies in the goals and assists column. And lo and behold, it's G who gets them there. It's nice to see. I know we talk about whether it's the contract year thing or it's this thing or it's whatever. I know the top, all the lines look different. He shuffled a lot of stuff, whatever. But those guys we saw start the season on the top line, TK, Claude Giroux, and Sean Couturier, those are the guys you want to see starting to wake up in these games a little bit more, because they've gone a little quiet lately, and that just cannot happen if the Flyers want to win games.
Yeah, it's interesting, the Giroux discussion, because, you know, in my lifetime, the captain of the Flyers, except for maybe Eric Desjardins, who took over in the fallout of the Eric Lindros saga, the captain of the Flyers always is in the crosshairs of the fans and sort of certain media members. And you know, I feel like we had a little thing in the off season where it was, you know, is Giroux going to be the captain? And it was fabricated. I don't believe the team ever thought about making a change, but there was some rumbling within, you know, the people that write blogs and sort of, you know, Twitter happy posts about Giroux potentially not being the captain anymore. From what we know, the team never considered anything like that. But all Giroux has done this year is come out and shown that he is the leader of this team, perhaps more so than he has in the last 2 or 3 years. And, you know, like you mentioned, he's scoring the big goals, the goals at the big moments of the games. He's making the big plays. He's continuing to run their power play, and he's doing all the things that a captain should do in this league. And, you know, it is a contract year, but I don't, there's not a lot of buzz around the contract year talk. A lot of times when guys are having big contract years, you hear a lot of talk about it being a contract year. I don't think that that's what this is about. I think their off-season additions have breathed new life into the guys that were on this team for the past couple years that maybe felt the atmosphere kind of getting stale. And they were in those games last year, as you mentioned, where stuff snowballs at the end. And a game that they played tight ends up being a 3-goal spread on the final score because the end of the game falls apart.
They pulled the goalie, and then they put Carter back in, and then he let in a leaky one.
Yeah.
And it's 5-2 instead of a 3-3 tie. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I think that I think that stuff is not happening. And again, I mentioned earlier in this podcast, the Flyers probably aren't in the spot to give up a goal against Tampa with 2 minutes left that would have potentially lost them a game, because they probably wouldn't have been in a game where they were tied with Tampa with 2 minutes left in the third period. That's just not the way this team played last year. They didn't play low scoring games last year. And this year, obviously, you mentioned they hadn't scored three goals in a number of games, and their last three wins were all by 2-1 scores before last night. So, you know, I think this is all part of establishing a new identity for this team.
The last time the Flyers scored three goals in a game was against Arizona on November 2nd. And Arizona's Arizona. So,
and I would also point out that if you remember that game, that was one of the worst played games of the year by the Flyers.
It was horrible. It was like it was one of those games where you go, well, the positive thing is the Flyers can win a game playing bad. That was
kind of the point from that game. And that was about it in terms of the positive. But, you know, I think it's all part of establishing a new identity. And, you know, quite frankly, the Flyers haven't gotten to establish the full new identity because they haven't been playing as a healthy team. One game where they've had Hayes and Ellis even playing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, two? It was last weekend.
Two.
Was it two?
No, Ellis didn't play in the second game. You're right.
Right. So it was the Dallas games, the only game that both of those guys played. So, but, you know, you can establish an identity, and to their credit, there's no one after the game leaning on, we're missing Kevin, we're missing Ryan, nobody's bringing up that. They're still concerned with establishing the new identity. This is our team. We can persevere through injuries. And, you know, I'm impressed with how it's been going and, you know, their ability to play in these close games with teams like Tampa and got teams that everyone expects are going to be there in the playoffs, late in the playoffs. It's impressive to see.
Flyers Talk is brought to you by Great Railing for the highest quality and lowest prices on all your railing and decking needs. Head in to Great Railing.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, Joe, we have another game to talk about because we haven't talked about the Calgary win as well, which felt like a nice little bit of vengeance for the Flyers. I thought it was a little bit poetic in that their scoring issues and some of their struggles started in Calgary, and that loss when they were on their Western Canada swing, and then they come back and they're able to beat them in overtime. But before we even get to that, I do want to talk about the Kevin Hayes, Ryan Ellis of it all. So we found out Ryan Ellis will miss at least 4 to 6 weeks. It sounds like they're still talking to doctors about how he's going to go to rehab, and I believe it's a hip groin based on something AV said in a press conference at one point. That being said, sometimes he'll kind of mention something and then say, I think it's that, and then it's a little unclear. So we're assuming it's a hip groin. Or we're not assuming it's anything, but based on what AV said, it might be a hip groin is what I'll say.
It's what you have to do with these lower body injury information is not plentiful.
This is why we don't even really start to try to touch it on pre and post game live, is because it becomes such a like a finicky area of, you know, it's not really that. It's an abdominal core issue, or it's this, or it's that, it's whatever. So, and then Kevin Hayes. So here's the interesting thing about Kevin Hayes is Kevin Hayes practiced on, what was yesterday, Thursday? He practiced on Wednesday. We saw him in practice. He looked like he had looked. I mean, he didn't look like speedy chasing down Travis Konecny, but to be fair, normally doesn't look like that.
And then he did the shoot with us afterwards. So
yeah, we did the shoot with him and Keith Yandel, which if you guys want some feel-good content, go watch that. It's hilarious, the two of them. I can't thank them enough. That was like the funniest 20 minutes of my life. And I believe he briefly came out for morning skate. I was writing part of the show, and I thought I saw him out there for a little while. The morning skate was so optional. I think there were like three people there yesterday. But I thought I saw him out there skating for a little bit. Could be wrong, could be mistaken, because it was like I was entering the arena as he was coming off, and I thought it was Kevin Hayes. And then really close to game time, he was a late scratch, and they recalled Max Willman on emergency conditions. And the whole thing is a little concerning, Joe, because they're both dealing with, from my understanding, kind of like a similar issue here, and those issues nag, like they linger. And when we talked to Scott about specifically Hayes's injury, which we know more about, we know what it is, we know he got surgery on it and all that, Scott told us like he's dealt with that before, and it took a full season of him playing after it healed, of him playing on it, to like kind of feel somewhat normal again. And then his season after that is when he really felt like he was back. So it's a little bit scary here, Joe.
Yeah, and you know, information is, I mean, what AV said last night after the game was very limited, but one thing stuck out to me. The 48 to 72 hour comment about it screams like waiting for test results and sort of bracing for this bad news. And not to be overly negative, but they don't provide us with a lot of information. So it's kind of hard not to think about negative. I mean, it's kind of hard not to, I mean, nobody hears that and says, oh, well, he'll be fine in 48 hours. No one says that, because why would it be 48 to 72 hours? I mean, so that puts, I mean, that almost guarantees he's not going to play on Saturday. So, yeah. And you know, you just got the feeling from the demeanor that AV had when he was asked about it was not positive.
I will say this though. This is the one place where I push back, and I can be wrong, and I'm just play devil's advocate with this with AV. When AV doesn't know something, when he doesn't want to speak on something, or he really genuinely doesn't have all the information, he gets a little bit like shut down defensively, and then people have like big reactions to his demeanor. And my experiences with him is like, let's say Carter went off the ice and he genuinely didn't know why Carter went off the ice. Like he could have been dehydrated at practice and he doesn't know yet. And we go, what happened with Carter? He gets real cagey and people are like, oh no, why is he so cagey? This must be bad. And like Derek Brassard, Carter was a bad example. Derek Brassard the other day went off the ice with dehydration. And if AV didn't know, if he like went straight up to talk to us and hadn't talked to Jimmy about what was going on with Derek, he would have been very cagey about what happened with Derek, even though it was just dehydration. I do think that is something to, like, I don't like to evaluate AV's body language as much as like, you know, we talk about Carter's all the time in post-game and how different he looks this year, whatever. I think Carter's a little bit more transparent. AV, like, genuinely, and it's come up, and I don't want to get into all of this, but it's come up when, like, he used to talk about big issues that are not hockey issues, i.e. when in the bubble when they were going to shut down games out of respect to the whole Black Lives Matter movement, or during when he was asked about the Blackhawks investigation. And people get upset at his reaction to things, and you're totally valid to feel how you feel about seeing his response. That's not what I'm here to say. But I've noticed that if he feels like he's not doesn't have the right thing to say in that moment, he cages up. And I think it's this, if he does it with injuries, he does it with social topics, he does it with defending his players, like he cages up. So demeanor wise, I've always found that kind of interesting about Alain Vigneault. I do want to go back to the Calgary game on a different note. Kevin did score in that game, second game back. And Al said it off air. Even if Kevin's not playing right this season and he's a once every third game type of contributor, you lose a contribution once every third game. And when the Flyers are playing games this close, you can't afford to lose any contributions. They continue to play games within one goal of the other team, whether it's a win or a loss. They seem to play right around right now that one goal area. And it's, you lose your emotional leader in terms of Kevin, and you lose a guy who can get a pass and, you know, hit a shot, rebounds and make the shot. And that's the game tying goal. It's a big loss. It's literally a big loss. It's physically a large loss for the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, and I would say this too. There's been a lot of talk, and we've heard Al and Scott mention it to us, you know, in the newsroom during games. This early part of the season, you know, the guys that are in their 30s, they all look great. But here's the problem. As the games wear on, these veterans that have a lot of games under their belt, they start to get worn down. Some of them experience injuries, and I'm talking about guys like Brassard and Thompson, and the Flyers' depth is already being challenged. So let's take Derek Brassard, who's had a better start to the season than probably anybody could have anticipated, and let's fast forward that to January. Now, we know they have a long break in February during the Olympics, which should help, you know, guys that don't go play in the Olympics. But I don't think we can count on these guys playing at the level they're at now, or that they have been since the middle of October when the season started, all season, because veterans, you know, they have issues. That the guys in their 30s, that they're going to have more issues than a guy that's 21. They're just going to. So, you know, the Flyers haven't experienced any of that. They're having issues with Ellis and Hayes. And, you know, you had mentioned the possibility of Ellis maybe being hip injury. I'm not an expert, but I know hips don't get better by playing hockey. And that is concerning to me in terms of the Ellis injury, because to me, the fact
that I don't know that it's a hip. I just know that AV said, I think it's in the hip groin area. So it could be abdominal. It could be a number of things.
And none of those get better by playing hockey. That's for sure.
No, but I mean, Kevin's dealing with I don't know if that's what he's dealing with right now. Little tidbit of inside information that I got last night. Kevin didn't want to do the Keith Yandel piece or really have it run unless he was playing. That was something that he said to us. He was really excited to do it, but he just wanted to make sure that he was fully back. He didn't want to put kind of the carriage before the horse in the situation, like be the personality guy who's not playing, which I respected. And then he didn't play last night. And I went upstairs and I talked to Flyers PR because we had run the piece. We didn't know he wasn't going to play. I mean, he didn't show up in warmups. That was the first time we knew he wasn't playing. And I went up after the pregame show and talked to one of the Flyers PR guys. And I said, you know, tell Kevin if he's upset that we ran it, like our apologies, but we didn't know, like AV gave us no indication, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, he's not upset, whatever. None of us knew that he wasn't playing until like hours before warmups, like just a few hours before warmups. And I was like, oh, and they said, yes. So, and they only told us that because they, you know, I felt bad because I know he had been pretty transparent about wanting to be contributing to the team hockey wise before he contributes to the team as like the funny guy. And that was the word I got, was that it was genuinely a very late scratch. So I don't really know what he's dealing with, but yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see if it continues to be Nick Seeler, who we've said over and over again has just done a great job not being noticed in a bad way most nights. It'll be interesting to see if Cam York gets a call up here. If, I mean, to be totally transparent, if Keith Yandel struggles the way he struggled at times during games, there's a lot of interesting things to look at here. But on your note of the older guys and the conditioning and the injuries and stuff, something from the post-game show stuck with me last night that Jonesy said. I asked him about why are they so bad in the second period? Like, why? Because it used to be they got slow starts. And that was, I think it ended up people kind of coming to a consensus that it's sort of like, if you're not ready to start the game, it's usually like a character thing. It's an internal thing. It's you don't care from the puck drop. That's an internal thing. When you have a good start to the game, but you don't play well in the second period, Jonesy said it concerns me that it's a conditioning thing, that these guys run out of legs and then it becomes desperation urgency time and you can get your legs back, but you can't play for a 20-minute chunk in the middle of the game. It's probably conditioning. And that concerns me because if you have conditioning issues and you have quite a few players that are around that 30 to 34 year age mark and you already have some injuries, conditioning problems and injury issues sometimes go hand in hand. That also concerns me a little bit, but I don't want to put the carriage before the horse in that situation either, because for now it's Ryan Ellis and Kevin Hayes. Hopefully that's all it will be, which is already a huge blow. Let's talk about Calgary. Flyers beat the Flames 2-1 in overtime. Cam Atkinson finally scores a goal again. Kevin Hayes gets his first goal of the season, points up to the heavens, up to Jimmy. And I think everybody had like a little tear in their eye in the Wells Fargo Center when that happened. What was the biggest thing you took away from that Calgary game, Joe?
So I'm going to go back to something that Scott talked about both in intermission and in the postgame show. The Flyers sticking up for each other, I think, is part of the identity that I brought up earlier in this podcast. I mean, the Flames were, Matthew Tkachuk, these guys were taking runs at Carter Hart at every stop.
They were annoying to watch. Annoying to watch.
And it's a typical Daryl Sutter team. They're after you nonstop, and they're doing like little annoying stuff. And Matthew Tkachuk's the perfect player to play for Daryl Sutter, a guy that's going to stir it up. He's going to take late pokes at the goaltender. He's going to hit guys. He's going to punch guys in the face when the ref's not looking, and the whole deal. And, you know, maybe it was the fact that Rick Tocchet was honored before the game, but the Flyers were right there for all of it.
And Homer, 1 and 2.
And Homer, yeah, both guys, they were maybe honoring the two-est new members of the Flyers Hall of Fame and sticking up for their teammates. Whatever made it happen, that stuck out to me in the game. It was like, no, you're not going to do this. And every time they did it, there were 3 or 4 Flyers there to give them the business. And, you know, I'm not going to say last year's team didn't stick up for each other, but I don't think it was glaring like it was in that game the other night.
For lack of a better word, I don't think it was they stood up for each other in kind of like a powerful, heavy, strong-armed way, the way that they did. Like, there was chippiness. Like, last year, there was almost like it's like a pettiness kind of sticking up for each other, like, you know, kind of shoving somebody and, you know, yapping back and forth and back and forth. You're starting to see, like, Sanheim and Ristolainen physically shove someone 6 feet away from Carter Hart. And it has a different kind of impact than, you know, Joel Farabee kind of like two-hand shoving somebody and being like, oh, you want to start something, you know, whatever. No disrespect to Joel, but you look at
who he's not looking to get in fights.
Yeah, well, Joel actually might.
Joel's not a except person. Those random ones where you're like, what, yeah, Farabee's fighting?
Like against like Alexiak where it's, you know, yeah. You're like, Joel, what are you doing?
Yeah, but, you're like, just turtle now. Get out of this fight.
Yeah, and I think to be fair as well, the guys that the Flyers brought in, we've talked about a lot, are respected guys across the league. And I think them getting in your face with the resume they carry is a little bit different than Nick Obey-Kubel or Phil Myers getting in your face. No disrespect to either of them. And it's... It has a different vibe. Like last year, like I said, it was almost like petty back and forth. And this year it's not. it's like, if you would really like to start something, let's dance. And if you don't, get away from my goaltender. And Tkachuk got like absolutely hammered a few times by the Flyers. And it was like, no, or when Lewis like kind of checked Carter's mitt, I think it was a little unintentional, but it didn't matter. Like you're getting rammed into the boards as hard as possible. Everybody's getting in your face. You're going to get a few punches in there. And it has a different kind of impact on the game, which is nice to see, because the Flyers just, it seemed like they couldn't find it last year, even if they wanted to. Like, they just didn't have the raw materials to do it.
Right. And so, and late in the second period, we ISO'd that the shift of Zach MacEwen with Matthew Tkachuk. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like AV or someone on the bench said, okay, you go out and you pester this guy.
Yeah.
If he wants to fight, you fight him and get him off the ice.
Yeah, take some runs at him.
Right. And MacEwen was on top of him legally, didn't take a penalty for an entire shift, was all over him doing what Matthew Tkachuk does to guys normally. And at the end of the shift, Tkachuk wanted nothing to do with him. Mm-hmm. And it was an interesting look, because the roles are usually reversed there. And if you're the Flyers, you're going to trade the MacEwen Tkachuk anytime if it's a 5-minute major for a fight or whatever the case may be. I mean, you're going to take that every time. So it was almost like they had had enough of his antics, and they put MacEwen on the ice and just said, you go after him, and however it ends, it ends. But don't make sure if you're going off the ice, you're taking him with you.
Yeah.
And Tkachuk wanted nothing to do with it. And you know, those kind of things, they build chemistry within your team. And I thought that was a good chemistry building win against Calgary, in addition to the fact that it was a low scoring game that they were able to pull out against a really good team, at least one that's shown itself to be a really good team early in the season. And a team that, quite frankly, had just blistered the Flyers in one of the worst games of the year, which was a back-to-back. We know that. Actually, no, that wasn't a back-to-back. It was the third of that Western Canada swing, but 3 games in 4 nights, and the Flyers really, I mean, quite frankly, just didn't show up for that game in Calgary. And, it was good to see them bounce back against them.
I want to talk about Zach MacEwen a little bit more in just a moment. But first, I have to tell you guys, there's so much to explore in Valley Forge in Montgomery County, PA. Montgomery County is composed of charming towns and main streets, each with its own personality, style, and vibe. Whether you're looking to get away with family or enjoy a special trip with friends, leave behind the stress of planning and use our guide to find some of the amazing things to do. Explore which town and main street suits you best, or visit them all. Visit makeitmainstreet.com to plan your getaway today. I know we talked about Nico Bakewell getting picked up off of waivers by Colorado last podcast. I don't think we talked enough about Zach MacEwen, though, kind of in conjunction with that. Zach MacEwen, for being kind of like a right before the season started, probably going to need an extra body, Kevin Hayes isn't available now, pickup, has been a very pleasant surprise to me. His motor is super high. His motor reminds me of Tyler Pitlick, but his game doesn't. He's got the physicality that you wanted to see from Nico Bakewell, but I feel like we don't see the penalties. And he'll fight. And he'll actually fight someone in situations where, I mean, exactly like we were talking about with Calgary. He started when there was a shift that we put on Intermission Live, I want to say, where MacEwen was just taking runs at Tkachuk because Tkachuk was taking runs at everyone, including Carter, and got away with it cleanly, A. And B, it gave the Flyers something that they hadn't really had, where it's like, if you want to do this, that's okay, but then you will have to deal with this. And this guy will drop gloves and beat the crap out of you, or he'll beat the crap out of you into the boards. And he's doing it in a way where the Flyers aren't stuck on the PK over and over and over again, or taking offensive zone penalties that you hate to see. He's kind of doing it in a more veteran savvy kind of way, I would say, Joe.
Yeah. It's interesting, because when a guy like him gets put in the lineup, and you do worry about the discipline factor, We saw this with Nick Ovechkin when he first came up with the Flyers. There was some,
and then in the middle of when he was up with the Flyers, and at the end of his tenure at the Flyers, right.
And in crucial moments in games where he just goes off the ice with a penalty and it leads directly to a goal. I haven't seen that from McEwen yet, and that is a good sign. And quite frankly, it's a little bit surprising, because that's really like the number one aspect of his game, is to go out there and sort of be a tone setter while not contributing really on the score sheet. I mean, no one's expecting him to fill out a stat sheet, but you notice him every time he's on the ice. And I think it was Scott that said that during one of the games, mm-hmm. that he really likes the way McEwen plays, because he doesn't – like there aren't any shifts off. He's out there on a mission every single time his skates hit the ice. And, you know, you can't really ask for more from a fourth-line player than to be a tone setter and to do it with discipline and not end up putting – making the team shorthanded. And, you know, it's exactly what the Flyers need at this point, quite frankly. I mean, you know, they like to have their guy. They like to have Kevin Hayes as part of their forward group, but they're dealing with some injuries. So they have a guy that can go in there and set a tone. And when a guy, like we mentioned, Matthew Tkachuk or anyone else is running around and causing issues, McEwen's going to let that person know and that team know that he's going to be there every time he's on the ice.
And this is a very me specific thing that I noticed, but I think it's in the motor sense, like I said before, McEwen reminds me of Pitlick. Every time McEwen skates, that number 17 on the back of his jersey is like flapping behind him because he is efforting so hard the way Tyler Pitlick's would. And it's such a dumb thing to notice, but you notice when guys are skating as fast as they can, as hard as they can, they're vigorously skating, that those numbers start flapping. And it is every single shift with him. He is trying to either pester the crap out of someone, or he's trying to hem someone in their own zone. And that's something that the Flyers needed on the fourth line. We saw how much they missed that type of high effort guy on the fourth line last year. We talked about how much of a loss Tyler Pitlick was going to be, like a sneaky loss. And he was. And I think you get a little bit of the effort level, the energy level, where the other team doesn't get to come out and the energy level dips. They come out and it's Nate Thompson and it's Pat McEwen, and one night it was Oscar Lindblom, which I don't love on the fourth line, but like there's a skill component there. They make the fourth line harder to play against, whereas last year there were real moments where, hey, and there were some games where the Flyers fourth line was their best line. AV will be the first person because it's usually because the other three lines are playing really bad. Though I like now that the top three lines can play well and the fourth line comes out and can be really hard to play against. And I think Zach McEwen's a big part of that. All right, quickly, as we wrap this podcast here, Bruins tomorrow, another tough game for the Flyers, but obviously they beat up on the Bruins to start the season. Joe, what are you expecting tomorrow night?
So I'm curious to see if Martin Jones is going to play this game. Cause if you remember, that was Martin Jones' first start. Flyers.
Yeah.
And he stood tall against and I had mentioned it on a previous podcast, when the Bruins throw out their perfection line with their top pair of McAvoy and Grizzlick on the power play, that's two defensemen that are perfectly capable of running a power play on their own, plus those three forwards. It is terrifying, and he stood tall during that first game. And I wonder if you don't try to recapture some of that magic and just go back to the well, because – as we've seen in the past, I mean, we saw it with Brian Elliott. He had certain teams where he just had their number. And I'm not saying by any means that Martin Jones.
Capitals. Like Brian Elliott was very good against the Capitals.
Yeah, he had crazy. It's weird how that works. And I'm not saying by any means that Martin Jones has the Bruins number because of one game. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, do they try to go back to that well, back to that formula that worked so well for them the first time they played the Boston Bruins? Right. But I think this Boston team, I think they may be starting to show some age a little bit. They're not that team that they were maybe 2 years ago. Now, don't get me wrong. Pasternak's still there. Bergeron's still there. Marchand's still there. We were talking about Matthew Tkachuk earlier. Marchand, more skilled version of Matthew Tkachuk, maybe less size and less ability to actually do something physically about the altercations as Tkachuk. But, I mean, Charlie McAvoy has turned into a superstar. And, you know, that he got paid like one before the season. So that's, you know, they're still a very formidable team. I just don't notice them being the big bad Bruins that kind of ruined or in part ruined the Flyers' season last year. But always – anytime the Flyers and the Bruins play and it's this mix of Bruins players, definitely beware because any game they could all go off at the same time.
So the two things that scare me were the Flyers scored 6 goals in that game and they're not scoring 6 goals right now. It's a 6-3 game, so they need to score more goals than they were scoring. And the other thing that scares me is you mentioned Marchand is – he has that annoyance factor, like you said, of Tkachuk, but he also, I forget who said this, but was talking about Marchand and was like, I hate playing against him because he's slippery. Like if you try to play that heavy game, if you try to play that game where you physically punish him for what he tries to do to you, he ends up dipping out of hits and he's off with the play and you feel dumb. But we'll see. The Flyers won that game 6-3 back in October. I'm with you. I'm very curious to see if they put Martin Jones back in. He's 3-1. I mean, that game in Dallas really felt like a mess for the entire team. I don't think he played great in that game. I don't think he played bad. And I think he has played great prior to that game so far this season. So I think this actually, if Martin Jones goes, will be a big test of, all right, the Flyers have been home all week. They had a day off today. They're not even practicing today, so they had a full day off today to recover. Can they really compete with the Bruins? You've mentioned the age thing. At some point, that's gotta catch up to them. Like, this team seems like they're, like, Matthew McConaughey, dazed and confused. Like, everybody else gets older, and that line seems to stay the same.
Yeah. Like, Patrice Bergeron, at some point, it's like, okay, he's...
Yeah,
it seems like he's been in the league 20 years.
Yeah, no, it does, and I think he almost has. Like, it's not.
Well, I know he was on the team. I know he was on the team that won the Stanley Cup, and also on that team was Mark Recchi. And Mark Recchi, it seems like it was forever ago that he played in this league.
Let me see. I have it in front of me right now. Da, 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 da. Patrice Bergeron. 36, and he's been in the league since 2003, 2004.
So we're looking at almost 20 years.
So there you go. Yeah, but I think on that note, that'll do it. We've gone for 43 minutes, Joe. Just a little Friday Flyers chat. Thank you for listening to Flyers Talk Podcast presented by Great Railing. Please rate and review, but only review like 5 stars. Give us 5 stars, leave nice reviews. If you don't like us, then maybe just stay subscribed and don't listen. I don't know. But and stay tuned. Joe and I will be with you tomorrow at 6:30 for Flyers pregame live. We have a half hour show before the Flyers take on the Bruins at the Wells Fargo Center. So if you're not headed to South Philly to watch the game, watch it with us. We're going to have some fun. Hopefully our teleprompter works. Didn't work yesterday. Neither did any of our playback videos. So if
pre-game. Other than that, we were fine, though.
And pregame looked a little different yesterday. Just so you know, behind the scenes, everything was falling apart. But thankfully, we have such good coworkers and we have a good team over there. So we were able to get it on air. And I hope tomorrow it'll be a little less eventful, Joe. But thank you for coming on and doing some Flyers talk with me.